That was Suki Waterhouse with OMG, and that's a fun song. Before that, Perfume Genius off his newest album, It's a Mirror. And I went to see him last time he was in town, and he's awesome. Not coming to Pittsburgh, unfortunately, on this tour, but did hit Pittsburgh last tour. And started off the set. Oh, actually, before that, Stereo Lab with Aerial Troubles, and they're just a great band. And before that, Wet Leg, Catch These Fists. And that wraps up the new and newer music show for me. Stick around for Eric with Courts in Session. And have a great week, everybody. I will be back in the fall. Bye.
You're so killable.
Thank you. She can't see that anymore. All she sees are the flaws.
You are listening to The Sound of Language on WRCT Pittsburgh, produced by the students in Contextual Practice Seminar. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily express those of WRCT Pittsburgh or its members.
Oh my gosh, they drained that.
Mm-hmm. What?
The fountain, it's completely drained. I've never seen the bottom of it. I didn't realize it was all concrete. They do a good job of making it look...
Making it look real.
Yeah. It's so faux. Wow.
Hello, this is artist Ginger Brooks Takahashi. Last week, I took my class, Contextual Practice Seminar, on a walk from campus down into Schenley Park. And we were going to see my permanent public artwork, Drip Seep Run. And we walked out of Hall of Arts.
I'm noticing ginkgo nets on the ground.
I came out here with Britt Branson's class. Mm-hmm. My like first few weeks at CMU, mm-hmm. and we watched a bug for an hour. We had to find a bug and then follow it. And then if we lost it, I had to find another one. Keep going.
Down Tech Street to Schenley Drive, and so you'll hear the sounds of us walking on the sidewalk and noticing different things along the way. I had the students read two different texts in preparation for this site visit. So one of the texts is called Notes for Noticing, and it's a piece that I wrote with my collaborator Dana Bishop Root as General Sisters. And we created this in 2021, and it was for a show at Tufts University. Notes for Noticing is an invitation for moving and observing in a place where you have been before, to connect with knowledge that is part of your histories, your feelings, and those that are with you. Place yourself in the place where you are, with all that you are, connecting with the knowledge that is part of your history in present tense. Collective knowledge, collecting knowledges. Who is with you? Where were you the last time you were moving through this path? Who named you? Who named this plant as a weed when we have known all along it is medicine? In this time, observation is your wealth. In this time, your senses connect the present to your histories of knowing. In this time, what do you want? In this time, find yourself in relation to. Noticing notes. The sound of your foot connecting with the ground. The scale of yourself in relation to what is rooted in the ground. What is left over from the season before? What is sprouting in the present tense? The seeds being released. Your knowing of this tree. Your knowing of its bark, touch, and its knowing of you, touch. Touching the length of a stem, tracing the outline of a leaf through all their seasons. Which death is a part, and therefore life? We have learned the trees are in communication with each other, with water, with soil, with microbes, from their root structures, their entanglements, and the space in between. With an inhale, your lungs welcome what you know.
Did Charlie ever take you on a walk through Brick Park Cemetery?
No. Yeah.
go-to occasionally.
For having a conversation.
Yes, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got many a generation of people.
We
just like walk around because they have like the Egyptian inspired graves and mausoleums. It's quite astonishing how it is. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second text that I assigned to the students to read is Genealogy of Site Specificity by Miwon Kwan. It was published in 2002, and for me it's been an important text for thinking about a site-responsive or a site-reflexive art practice. She talks about the history of site specificity, and I'll just go ahead and read a little bit of the introduction because in the walk, the students refer to this text, and I think it's important to have a sense of what they're referring to. Site specificity used to imply something grounded, bound to the laws of physics. Often playing with gravity, site-specific works used to obstinate about presence, even if they were materially ephemeral, and adamant about immobility, even in the face of disappearance or destruction. Whether inside the white cube or out in the Nevada desert, whether architectural or landscape-oriented, site-specific art initially took the site as an actual location, a tangible reality in its identity, composed of a unique combination of physical elements. Length, depth, height, texture, and shape of walls and rooms, scale and proportion of plazas, buildings, or parks. Existing conditions of lighting, ventilation, traffic patterns, distinctive topographical features, and so forth. If modernist sculpture absorbed its pedestal base to sever its connection to or express its indifference to the site, rendering itself more autonomous and self-referential, thus transportable, placeless, and nomadic, then site-specific works, as they first emerged in the wake of minimalism in the late 60s and early 70s, forced a dramatic reversal of this modernist paradigm. Antithetical to the claim, if you have to change a sculpture for a site, there's something wrong with the sculpture, site-specific art, whether interruptive or simulative, gave itself up to its environmental context, being formally determined or directed by it. So that last part, giving itself, an artwork giving itself up to its environmental context, being formally determined or directed by it, is a huge part of what I think of as site responsive. And it's how I began my process and how I continue to think about how to create an artwork that is in relationship to a site, whether it's visible or invisible aspects of the site. So, let's go on a walk.
I got really drawn to all the shale piles.
Yeah.
It's all over in this park, and it's actually one of the rocks that I used in my piece.
Oh.
I sourced it from nearby, but it was a huge effort to figure out how to bring it here. This is the first time I worked at this scale where it was things that I couldn't physically move. So it involved hiring a truck with a, what is it called? An arm. That like lifts your thing.
Hydraulic lift?
A crane. I had to hire a crane operator to come and move the piece in, and then I had to hire somebody with a dump truck to come and pick up all the shale and then bring it here. And get all the permissions for all of that too.
You hired me.
Well, at one point I did think about just getting a basket, and I got a backpack basket, and I was like, well, I could just move like 5 loads a day, and maybe I can do it by myself.
And this could be part of the piece.
Yeah, it'd be more like durational.
Yes.
Oh, I like the root system on that tree. Sunset, golden hour, yeah. Yes, photo language, photo lingo, golden hour, if you're into portrait photography, right now would be a great time to take pictures, very moody, yeah.
I think it's amazing how we're, our image is reflected and where it's like staring back at us.
Oh yeah.
It's so
the shadow.
Vertical, it's like a movie.
Yeah, and it's almost like to scale.
Yeah.
I spy with my little eye one in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
And
I'm thinking a lot about rocks and just paying attention to the sound of our foot on feet on rocks. Like the earth is made of rocks. This is the thing that will forever be present. And like, yeah, the stairs and everything, they were carved out of rocks. And it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm in a big rock right now.
So does that
with a little bit of other living things around, but it's a big rock. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say. So does that mean that all art be considered sites? Specific, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's
every
how I felt
reading that.
Yeah.
I was like, well, if you expand this far, it's all site-specific work.
Yeah.
Same case for everybody. Yeah. Which takes away the whole point of using that as a definition.
Yeah, if everything is from rock and from, I guess, earth. Yeah. In my mind.
But then the word is your site for making us. So like, yeah. Everything is odd.
Yeah, but they were saying in the article that if you think about discourse as a site, or if you think about history as a site, or if you think about, like, if you redefine what can be interpreted as site, then suddenly site-specific is anything that isn't, I don't know, like, full commodity.
Mm-hmm. Or a discrete object.
Right.
In a space that the artist doesn't intend to have any relationship.
Well, even then,
I know,
as long as the space, as long as it has some sort of specificity to something, then according to that article, it would be site-specific.
To drain water?
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So that's a uncovered, like, part of our drainage system. So throughout the park, you'll see, like, probably what you'll see up there at the top of the road, I know exactly where it is. There is a grating, and the stream runs under the road, and then it comes down here, and it probably goes under here. Probably drains somewhere over there.
So it's like a culvert, but small.
Exactly. Yep.
Why?
Because it's clay. It's cracked probably because it's clay and something hit it and it broke it.
Oh, it's terracotta.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what the little pottery pieces you saw are.
Oh. Maybe.
You saw pottery pieces on this walk already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta pay attention. So is walking a significant part of your practice?
It became part of it since I started. I mean, it's part of how... It's one pace and one mode for me, like, moving through the world. And it became more significant in my practice when I started making these public artworks. And because I was placing them in locations that maybe felt more like a destination for some people. And so the question of how do people arrive to it? How do people find it? And then do I organize walks as part of it? And then I started thinking about how to think about disability and walking, and I started to consider other words for walk, even that was more inclusive of different kinds of movement. And so the word that I arrived at was amble.
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 A-M-B-L-E. Which is kind of like a slow walk or a meet.